And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you all are having a wonderful time. Remember, this is the day that the Lord has made. We can be glad and rejoice in it. And I really mean that. Look, I know this stuff that's going on is crazy. In fact, I have a lot of fun doing this program and a lot of fun talking to you all. Enjoy every moment of it. But, you know, I have to tell you all now that I am making a great sacrifice for each and every one of you. Of course, I'm not sure where it ranks, but it's got to be fairly high on the scale of sacrifices that human beings have made for others. You wonder, well, what is the sacrifice? For the next 4 years, however long it is, I've got to listen to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, mainly Joe Biden for the time being. And I'll tell you something, folks, it is like scraping fingernails on glass to listen to the drivel coming out of this president's mouth. It ain't easy. It really is not. It really is not. You know, and the thing is, the level of hypocrisy with all of these executive orders from the man who said we're not a dictatorship, we can't do things without democratic consensus, and suddenly all of that is forgotten. And he is busy undermining our infrastructure, undermining our energy, undermining our educational system, shoving abortion in the faces of over half the American people who don't approve of it, don't believe in it, don't want it. And yet he's pushing ahead to make us complicit in funding abortions by doing away with the Hyde Amendment. So I have to listen. You know, I will probably, though, I haven't had to do this now for 4 years, so I've gotten out of the habit. I really developed a habit because for a variety of reasons, the work I do, even off the air, I have to comment on the political and social issues of the day. And I learned to, instead of listening to Barack Obama's speeches, I would just go somewhere and find the transcript. It was a little bit easier for me to read the transcripts of some of the crazy stuff he said. And some of the lies he told and the completely off stuff that he was proposing. It was easier to read that because, you know, I could put it down and then go back and try to read a sentence or two more and then, you know, get my stomach together again and then go back and read a couple sentences more and then, you know, go back and take some Pepto-Bismol and read it. But I had forgotten about that defensive habit I developed in order to keep my stomach intact. And so it looks like I'm going to have to go back to that because I tell you, folks, it's hard. It's really hard to listen to. And ICE is already, they are in turmoil in ICE right now because they don't know what to do. A judge has blocked Biden's order that there be no further deportations. Now, you know, you've got deportations pending with MSNBC. You know, now that must be a Freudian slip. I must be suggesting that somewhere in my subconscious is the desire to deport them. It's not a bad idea. Self-deportation might be in order here, too. But getting back to the point, he's trying to stop all deportations. You've got dangerous people, the people that President Trump was called a racist for pointing out, who do come here illegally. I know that not all people come here illegally are members of MS-13. And I know that all people who come here legally are not criminals in the sense of living a life of crime. I know that all people who come here illegally are criminals in the sense that they cross our borders illegally, and that makes them criminally liable in our country, or should. But apparently the law doesn't really matter anymore, because Joe Biden, by executive fiat, can determine that there are no consequences. Well, why don't you just write an executive order that says there'll be no further incarcerations for murder, rape, robbery? I mean, that's in effect what some of these leftists have done anyway in these cities across the country where there's no longer a bail requirement even for violent crimes. Just send them back out in the streets. And the thing is, the people they punish are the people they claim to be so interested in, the poor, minorities, people living in more economically disadvantaged areas. Those are the people who end up being victims of this criminal class. And those are the people who the Joe Bidens of the world, the leftists of the world, think should be set back into their midst to prey on them some more. So I guess you can tell that listening to this has not been easy, but I do it for you. Okay, right? You can thank me when you see me. Because, listen, your attitude can be, yeah, better you than me. you go ahead and listen, and you can report to me what this ain't. In fact, I sometimes will see something and go to my wife and say, do you know what he just said? Do you know? And my wife, I tell my wife, she says, did you really have to tell me? I'm not watching it because I don't want to hear it, but you've got to come and report it to me. So I guess for some of you, that may be my job too. I have to give you the bad news that's coming down the pike. But you know what? There's always good news. And the good news is that Jesus is still on the throne. The good news is that he died on the cross for our sins, and we are on our way to eternal glory. And that's good news. And the good news is that he is with us right in the rotten here and now, to bless us, to help us, to protect us. And so no matter what these folks do in Washington, D.C., or some of these local government fiefdoms that they've created, and by the way, you see what's happening out in Tacoma, Washington, they don't realize these folks turn on them because these folks want a revolution. And if you're not down with a violent revolution in some of these cases, they don't care how leftist you are. They don't care your party. You are in the way. And this is what you keep trying to tell these enlightened executives and scholars and the people who are pushing this and telling us that these media moguls, like I think it was Jake Tapper who said that, I think it was Jim Acosta who said that it was one or the other. They're both Tweedledum and Tweedledumber, who said that, you know, that the people who supported Trump are terrorists. Yeah, they're terrorists, and they're a threat to the country. This is the crazy rhetoric coming out of the left. So, I see when I hear people talk that way, here again, you know, when they liken President Trump to. Now former President Trump, unfortunately, but when they likened him to Osama bin Laden, I said, so what are you saying? Because we killed Osama bin Laden. Are you saying that that's what somebody should do to this president? See, if somebody on the conservative side said something like that about Biden, likened him to Joseph Stalin or something like that, people, they would go crazy. Are you trying to put the president's life in jeopardy? No. But that's exactly what you did to President Trump. I wouldn't do it to any president. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
America's turning more into a secular society, but this post-Christian nation is not turned into a kinder, more tolerant place to live. Peter Beinart, writing in The Atlantic, reminds us that a vast majority of Americans still believe in God, but they are fleeing organized religion in increasing numbers. The percentage of people with no religious affiliation jumped from 6% in 1992 to 22% in 2014. Among millennials, that figure is 35%. Many secular people would have predicted that this trend would end the culture wars and lead to greater harmony in society. Just the opposite has happened. He says secularism is indeed correlated with greater tolerance of gay marriage and pot legalization, but it's also making America's partisan clashes more brutal. Non-churchgoers have adopted a bleak view of America more so than their church-going peers. He wonders, has the absence of church made their lives worse? Or are people with troubled lives more likely to stop attending services in the first place? Establishing causation is difficult, but we know that culturally conservative white Americans who are disengaged from church experience less economic success and more family breakdown than those who remain connected, and they grow more pessimistic and resentful. I think you could make the case that without the peaceful influence of the Christian faith, Americans gravitate to a darker view of the country and of other citizens. Trust and civility decline while anger and animosity increase. We should not be surprised that many Americans leave the church and organized religion, that the conflicts in society are intensifying rather than diminishing. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
My mentor used to say, leaders bring faith, hope, and courage to concentrated action.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
Recently, I attended a meeting where a presentation seemed to suck all the hope right out of the room. Why? Because the leader presenting told the group what we could not do for numerous reasons. Another leader made a presentation and told us what we could do and showed us that it was attainable. The second leader fired our faith by painting a picture of something not in existence and helping us believe that it really could happen with concentrated effort. Now guess which leader brought hope to the group? Leaders bring hope by painting an attainable future.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here. Joe Biden is the champion of racial diversity. How's that working in the West Wing? John Kerry is the new climate czar. Is he practicing what he preaches? What does Biden want to do with all criminal illegal aliens? The cancel culture continues its obliteration of the Founding Fathers. And MSNBC says Republicans are terrorists by definition. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
By all means, folks, check out that podcast page. It's right on our website, AFR.net. And you'll love it. And share it with others and let them know if they want to listen to a program that maybe you thought was particularly important or timely. And just tell them, go to the website and check out the podcast and go to my program, to the program that they want to listen to or that you want them to listen to and have at it. And by the way, that's a big help to us because it helps us to kind of quantify and measure the impact we're having. So please, every chance you get, take advantage of it, use it, and particularly share it with others who might not listen to AFR.net yet, might not listen to American Family Radio yet, but they will. So, yes, all of us who did not support Joe Biden are now terrorists. There's discussion of putting some officials, I guess whose words were not to the liking of the left, on a terrorist watch list and a no-fly list. I'm serious, folks. This is how bad this is getting. There's a group that's formed itself into a watchdog group to try to monitor corporate hires in the aftermath of the Trump administration and to basically harass, threaten those companies to be exposed for involvement in subversion or something. I'm not sure what the accusation is supposed to be, but they're blacklisting everybody who worked for the Trump administration and saying no one should hire them. You know, this is the thing that I find astounding, because here again, this means these people are not interested in persuading others. They're interested in intimidating others. They're not interested in winning an argument. They're interested in destroying anybody who would dare question their argument. And this is not the attitude of people who are imbued with a sense of liberty and the importance of defending liberty for all of us. They don't have that ethic. And you just wonder where all of this is ultimately heading. You know, I said before, when you start messing with people's livelihoods, when you start interfering with their ability to earn a living and feed their families, you are on very, very dangerous ground, as you are pushing people into a corner. As what do they expect them to do? I just don't know. I don't get it. And this is where, in a sense, we conservatives, particularly Christians, are at a distinct political disadvantage, which is why we need the power of God so much. I couldn't do that to another human being. I just couldn't do it to them. I couldn't run around trying to block any opportunity that they have to do anything that would help them earn a living. Now, I might want to stop them from doing things that I thought they should not be doing because of the positions that they hold and what that might mean as from a policy perspective. But to just stop somebody from getting a job because I don't like where they stand or I don't agree with the administration that they work for, I couldn't imagine. And I just don't think this is in the hearts of Christians and conservatives to, for example, to run around trying to find anybody who worked for the Obama administration. The Obama administration was about as far left. In fact, it was the most far left administration we've ever had. And now Biden, of course, is trying to outdo him. But I couldn't a bit more think of going around trying to stop those people from earning a living and going on with their lives than the man in the moon. And yet they call us haters, and they call us bigots, and they call us Nazis, and anything else you want to think of that's evil and wicked and negative. But of course, we know it's projection. They essentially throw on us and at us the labels that really apply to them. That's the name of the game. It is a demonic strategy. You accuse someone else of precisely what you are doing as a way of throwing the spotlight off of your own behavior. And they are past masters at this. They are really, really good at it. It's practiced, but it's also a gift from their father, the devil. Because that's what Jesus said. You know, you are of your father, the devil. The deeds of your father you'll do. He was a liar from the beginning, and the truth is not in him. And when he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own, because he's a liar and the father of lies. And so they get all worked up when you say they're of the devil, but Jesus would say the same thing, and he has. Because when you traffic in these lies, and you know the other interesting thing, and by the way, I'm going to come to calls. I'm going to try to get to a couple of you in this segment. If I don't, we'll come right into the next segment with some phone calls. The number is 888-589-8840. You know the other thing that I am really quite concerned about? These folks take these massive steps and changes without any sense of what the long-term impact is of what they're doing. They don't care. You know, they're always talking about science, but you know, in science, there tends to be experimentation to prove theories. You tend to want to try a small sample, for example, or do a small study to try to figure out, can this work more broadly? You notice these leftists never do that. They just go right for the go for the gusto, just go for it all. And then when the consequences are felt, oh, well, I mean, for example, the Great Society programs. They could have tried that on a limited basis to see what the effect would be, even though Daniel Patrick Moynihan warned them of the breakdown of the black family in the inner cities of our country, warned them when there was 25% of children were born out of wedlock. Now it's 72%. He warned them. But you know what? They ignored that. In fact, they called him a racist for even raising the question. Because they're not interested in truth. They're not interested in effectiveness. They're not interested in results. They're only interested in power. And here we go, blacklisting people, purging people, telling people that you're going to prevent them from getting a job in the future. I mean, Lord help us and help those people who face this kind of, and these are folks who are always talking about they're against discrimination. No, they're not. They're in favor of discrimination is against anybody who doesn't agree with them, who doesn't toe their line, who won't live on their socialist plantation. Well, here's the other thing. You know, Biden is throwing us back into these Paris Accords. And, you know, here again, this climate change stuff, this stuff is authoritarian. It is anti-democratic with a small d. It is anti-liberty because it is based on this idea that the world is in such horrible condition and we're headed toward a climate cataclysm and we've got to take power over people because people don't have the good common sense to do what's right by the environment. We've got to force them. We've got to order them. And we've got to take over their houses and their thermostats if necessary. But we certainly have to determine what kind of cars they can drive. Now, the elites can still fly in their private jets and they can still drive in big SUV limousines because that's, after all, they're special. You know, they need to violate these rules because, after all, they're presiding over us all and they can't be limited to the same ideas and rules and regulations that the rest of us have to obey. We all understand that. They are the creme de la creme. And, you know, the cream rises to the top and they're at the top and the rest of you just shut up and obey, okay? Well, Macron of France is now saying that we're going to have to redo capitalism. He says, because COVID proves that capitalism doesn't really work. I wish somebody would tell him that to the extent that there is an effective vaccine or vaccines out there, it is a result of the ingenuity and the effectiveness and the hard work of capitalists, of free enterprise people working for both the good. And somebody tell Stacey Abrams this because she's economically ignorant, and tell her that a good thing was done with a profit motive as well, because people have to be paid for their work, and the people who are risking vast resources will not do so if on the other end there's not at least the potential, not the guarantee, but the potential of a reward on the other end for the risk that they've taken. Yeah. You know, folks, you don't need a PhD in economics to understand that. These people don't fail to understand it because they're too intellectually stupid to get it. I mean, my goodness, a 7 or 8 year old can understand this if you explain it to them, right? They simply hate the fact that free enterprise does not leave people under their thumb. You see, that's what communism is all about. You can't control people when they earn their own living, they build their own business, they make their own decisions. That won't work. You've got to have them under your control. And Biden is putting us back in with a bunch of socialists who are ultimately going to expect America to make all the sacrifices. We're only 4% of the world's population. We put out a fairly small percentage of the world's carbon emissions compared to communist China and India. And yet, you better believe that when the bill comes due, guess who they're all going to be expecting to pay it? Yeah, you and me, because the government doesn't have any money but what we earn to give it. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Paul has some words for us in 2 Corinthians. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. You know, I'm a rich man. Some people I know will deny that. They look at my salary, my bank account, what possessions I have. They by no means consider me a rich man. They wouldn't even go so far as say that I was in the middle bracket, much less in the upper bracket. But like I said, I'm a rich man. I'm a rich man. I'm rich because of my heritage. I came from a home where parents loved me, provided for my needs to the best of their ability, sacrificed things they very much needed so that I could have advantages they never had. I'm a rich man. I have a wife who loves me. She puts up with all my faults, stands beside me, pulls for me when the going is rough. No, she's no Hollywood star. But most of the stars in Hollywood cannot hold a light to her when it comes to real beauty. Yes, I'm a rich man. I have 4 wonderful children. I have 5 grandchildren. Children and grandchildren who give hope and promise of a better tomorrow. I love them, want the best for them, and try to bring them up in a Christian environment like my parents did before me. I'm a rich man. I have a job, a very meaningful job. Not much money in it, nor prestige, but it gives me a chance to help my fellow man, to lift the sights of others to a higher level, give my life to a cause that will leave the world a better place in which to live. I'll probably never reach the top of my profession, but I can face life knowing I did my best in the job which I felt my Creator wanted me to do. I have a job which I consider important because He considers it important. And again, I'm a rich man. I want to say it one more time. I'm a rich man. I live in a free country. Millions and millions of people cannot know the richness of that. They live under the shadow of a dictator. Millions more here in the country where I live have never realized that freedom is an obligation, not a license. Thus, they're poor. Poor because they have not learned that freedom is not a license to drag men down into the depths of filth, but that freedom is an obligation to lift myself and my fellow man to greater and greater heights, pressing on toward that high mark to which our Maker calls us. Again, I'll say it, I'm a rich man. I have friends who are friends. They stay with me through the good times and the bad. They encourage me. They cause me to try harder. They keep me from giving up. When the clouds of darkness are around me, these friends of mine are beside me. They're true friends. The doors to their homes are open to me as mine is to them. I'm a rich man. I've found what many still are searching for. I've found forgiveness and understanding and help. I've found them in a crucified Galilean. He takes my weaknesses and makes me strong. He takes my fears and makes me brave. He takes my doubts and makes me believe. He assures me of what every person wants to know, that there will be life after death for me. Like I said, I'm a rich man. Oh, by the way, can I borrow a dime?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Look, there's a lot going on in the country, and I'm sure that you, like me, understand the importance of prayer through all of this. And if you want to join us in prayer, us meaning Stand America, the nonprofit that I run, if you want to join us in prayer, we have prayer every Friday at 12 noon Eastern Time. And you just go to our website, standamerica.us, and you can find out more about that. And you can get the call-in number and call in and join us in prayer. You will find it uplifting and encouraging as people come together from all over the country every Friday to pray in behalf of America. See, that's what makes me so confident that our country is going to be all right. Luke 18, Jesus says, "Will he not answer you speedily, though he bears long with you?" And I believe that when the time comes, boom, there's an end suddenly that God does. And I'm looking for it. I'm believing for it. In the meantime, I'll keep working. But I'm believing God for an end suddenly to help turn this nation around. I don't know how it will happen or what he will do, but I know that God is going to do something because he answers our prayers. Prayer said in faith. Jesus said, when you pray, Mark chapter 11, believe you've already received it and you will have it. I believe I've already received an awakened America, a renewed America, an America with a renewed sense of covenant. The other thing I want to mention is for those Oklahoma listeners, I do get calls from Oklahoma. I'm always a little bit surprised because, but we do. And for all my Oklahoma, in fact, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, you know, all that environment, the surrounding area, Kansas, I've got some Kansas calls on now. I'm going to be at the Real Church on Friday at 7 p.m. Now, that's Central Time, Friday, 7 p.m. at 315 South Sheridan Road in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tomorrow night. So if you want to stop by and be with us there at the Real Church Revival, I'd be glad to see you. Please make sure you introduce yourself to me if you come as a listener, by the way. All right, let's get to your call. Oh, one other quick thing. This San Francisco is now doing away with all plaques, monuments, everything that mentions George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. Yes, they were racist. Folks, it is not about George Washington or Abraham Lincoln being racist. You know what it's about? It is about delegitimizing the United States of America and saying we are not a legitimate country. And those people who we've honored as being playing such an important role in our history, those people must be stamped out. Their memory, their honor, their dignity, their creativity, their service, everything about them must be debunked because America must be debunked. That's what it's really all about. You say, well, then what's left? Oh, an America that they remake, not the United States of America, but something like the United Socialist America. No states. See, they don't want states. They don't want the electoral college system. They don't want each state represented. They want to impose upon the entire country their worldview. So it'd be something like the United Socialist America. They might even do away with America. I don't know what they call it. It would be an abomination, whatever it is. And folks, it's not going to happen. But that's the crazy stuff they're doing in San Francisco. The father of our country, the man who fought... let me not get started because this stuff is just so ridiculous. And once San Francisco does it, you know, you'll get other cities, other progressive cities that will follow suit because they just think that's so cool. That's so enlightened. That's so woke. Lord help us. We need the whole country on our prayer line on Fridays at 12 noon Eastern time, to be very honest, because we are in desperate need of continued prayer. But God is working it out. I'm confident of that. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I have two quick comments on the what's going to happen is that the Democrats are going to be waking up because all these people, they're losing their jobs in all these states. They're not going to all be conservatives in the oil field or the gas line and everything. And what's really scary is that Kamala Harris is really being quiet in the background. They're like they're burning Joe Biden down to where he can do get everything done, and then she can step in and say, he's gone overboard. I've got to step in and take over and do the 25th Amendment on him. I pray for him, but I cannot call him president. And I just feel like too many people are waking up too late to see what we tried to tell them before President Trump left office. Thank you, and God bless you, and be safe in Oklahoma.
Thank you, Mary. God bless you, too. Mary, you said a lot. I don't know what the longevity of Joe Biden is. Only God knows that. I think Kamala Harris has got to be thinking about that. Exactly what she's planning to do or would do, I don't know. I'll tell you all, I do believe that Kamala Harris will be president of the United States before this 4 years is up. Now, here again, I'm not wishing anything bad on Joe Biden, so please don't misunderstand me. But to me, Joe Biden seems frail. He seems half out of it. And I don't see it. I just don't see him lasting 4 years under the pressure of the presidency. But I could be wrong, and maybe he will. I mean, can I say I think I'd rather have Joe Biden than have Kamala Harris? I mean, you know, and even as I say that, I don't even know whether that's right. I mean, I think they're both terrible, because I think Joe Biden is a puppet of the far left, and I think Kamala Harris is a far leftist by nature. I think that's really where she is. I think Joe Biden doesn't know where he is, and they're just kind of feeding him, and he says, oh, okay, sure, absolutely, and in complete disagreement with stuff that he once said. Okay, let's go to, okay, we got time. Let's go to Lewis in my home state of Virginia. Lewis, welcome.
Oh, how you doing, sir?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm just fine. God bless everything you do. I've been listening for a few months now. The wife turned me on to you. But I'd like to make a few comments.
Sure.
Number one, I said years ago, the right is just in everyday life what I ran through. I said, you know, it don't make no sense. The right is wrong and the wrong is right. Well, that's kind of come to what it is now. And I'm thinking just like, you know, if they know that you voted or have anything to do with Trump, that you're going to have to go underground eventually, or you can't say nothing. You can't let nobody know. You just got to be like undercover, you know, because you're going to be, you know, judged for that one feeling because you are a Trump supporter. And the other thing I wanted to make comment on Monday, I live about a mile from the Robert E. Lee statue here in Richmond. And I went down and they had put up a fence that morning. And I went down, I had a poster, and it said, wake up, repent, and the land will be healed, from 2 Chronicles 7:14. And as I round the monument, there was this young white couple, and he made a comment to me. And he said, I ought to beat your old white, you know what? And I don't know. It just came out. I said, well, come on. And he approached me. And when he got to me, I said, the blood of Jesus. And he turned around and walked away.
Wow.
So when I got around the other side of the statue, it was a bunch of, I guess it was a lot of mixed, probably the younger crowd, looked like college kids. And they said, so can we ask you something? And it was everybody talking. And I said, Jesus, only thing I could say, because they were all kind of yelling, I said, Jesus is coming soon. Get ready. And I went on with my sign, and I went on down the road. But
Well, God bless you, Lewis.
Yeah.
God bless you, man. That was courageous of you, because you and I both know, and this whole audience knows, it's not about the statue. Look, those statues have been there for 40, 50, no longer than that, almost 100 years, I think. I don't know exactly when that one was put up, but I think it was in the early 20th century. And it has not, the statue being there has not affected anybody's life negatively. The statue not being there is not going to affect anybody's life positively. It's history, and it simply needs to be understood as that. And yet they're going to use that and anything else they can come up with to divide us. And so God bless you for taking a stand, because I noticed that you didn't take a stand for the monument. You just tried to direct people's attention to what the real issue is. And the real issue is not about race. It's about righteousness. Thank you so much for the call, Lewis. God bless you. Stand by, folks. Back in a moment.
AFA Excellent.
Repairing the foundation.
American Family Radio.
Announcing AFA.net/connect.
One News Now.
It's the one click that will link you to so many AFA platforms. Pick and choose which updates you want to receive. Easily subscribe or unsubscribe.
American Family Studio.
And to quote our privacy policy, American Family Association will not sell, rent, or lease your personal information to outside organizations.
AFA Journal.
Make a better connection with AFA at AFA.net/connect.
As the new administration begins, remember that Romans chapter 13 says, the authorities that exist have been established by God. With that truth, it's the responsibility of Christians to pray for President Biden and Vice President Harris. Regardless of who's in the White House, God is still on the throne. We need to trust Him and call on Him at all times. Pray for our leaders and for the peace and health of our nation. A reminder from the American Family Association.
So there's this guy, and his name is Jose, and he's healthy, he's got a happy family, he's busy running his own payroll company in Texas, goes to the doctor and gets news you never want to hear, cancer. And here's the thing, he had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jose and his wife Estrella was, is this really going to work? Especially after they got hit with an $85,000 bill.
That bill was paid so fast that it was amazing.
We didn't have to worry. They paid right away. All his doctor visits. It was just amazing.
So yes, MediShare works. And a typical family saves $500 a month when they switch to MediShare. But it's not just about the money.
Just to have believers knowing that they're praying for you, you know, it melted your heart.
And I tell you, I have nothing but great things to say about MediShare.
Why wait? You can call now, 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
And rather than eating in the teacher's lounge, I always go sit in the school cafeteria.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and here's Guy Dowd.
I pick out a different group of kids every day to sit with. Some I usually try to pick a table I don't know. I walk up to a group of kids, mind if I sit here? I've never had anybody tell me no. Had some tables get up and totally leave. Nobody ever said no. And now when I go in the cafeteria, hey, Miss Dowd, come sit with us, come sit with us. And you know what? I think some of the best teaching I do is at lunch. And we just talk. And all, they're just anxious to open up. And the things you hear about their families, their mothers, their dads, their brothers, their sisters, their boyfriends, their girlfriends. Know how they need that molder of dreams.
More inspiration from Guy at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
You know, we said, many of us who, look, I'm no fan of the Confederacy, so let's just be clear about that, but I am a student of history, and one of the things that we often said was, you know, it starts with the Confederate statues under the guise of, well, these are racist and we shouldn't have them, but where does it end? And we found out it doesn't. Now you got San Francisco removing the names of Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, these are important figures in our history, but that's when you start down that censorship road, when you start down that communist pathway of we've got to remove history, change history, get rid of history so that we can create a narrative to our liking, it's a slippery slope. And I'll tell you, it doesn't end well if we continue going down that road. You know, maybe we need to build a fence around San Francisco and keep everybody who wants to live there and live that way kind of in there. Say, don't spread that stuff across the country. My goodness gracious. Okay, let's come back to your calls. Let's go to, is that Genia in Arkansas? Genia? Do I have that right? Hi.
Genia?
Oh, Jania. Yes. All right, Jania. Well, nice to have you on the program.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy that I turned you on last week. You make me feel better. And of course, I also turned on Abraham Hamilton.
Hamilton III. Yes, yes. Great young man.
Well, that's been a couple months ago, and he's the one that was able to make me laugh, and I lost I lost my husband 19 years ago. He never woke up, and my son 9 years ago, he never woke up. But my son always told me, he says, "Remember, Mom, Romans 8:18." That was his verse, and he says, "If anything happens to me," he says, "you remember that verse." What I wanted to ask you is this. He told me, and I know this, that we're not supposed to have this spirit of fear. But yet, and I get it, I get yourself and everybody, you know, speaking of what's going on, which is really scary and heavy, I mean, to take into your mind. Well, being alone, I'm scared, and I can't find myself knowing what to pray for anymore. For some reason, I can't even pick up my Bible because I don't know what to read. And I do have siblings, but, you know, I'm on 10 acres, so that's scary. And neighbors don't want to know you, and I've been here 19 years since my husband died. I bought it. And, you know, churches aren't opening out here in the country, and I don't know what to do because now I'm beginning to feel the fear in a way, and I don't have anybody, you know, other than yourself. I listen to you and Abraham that give that, you know, sense of God's with us, which I know He is. And I always walk around the land singing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," because that was my mother's favorite.
Well, Jania, I've got to try to get some other calls in here, but I'll tell you what, we're going to ask everyone to be praying for you because I'm sure you know the scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And when things try to take over like that, it's always a good thing to just meditate on that word and just get that into your heart and mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And just remember that you're right. He is there. And I think the more you meditate on that, the more that overcomes those other things that want to try to drag us down. Look, I'm subject to the same kinds of feelings. I just won't let them take root. You know, as one preacher said famously, and I love this. He said, look, I can't stop birds from flying over my head, but I can definitely stop them from nesting in my hair. So thank you for the call, Jania. God bless you. Let's go to Michael, also in Arkansas. Michael, welcome.
Bishop Jackson.
Yes, you sir.
Are he.
Well, I'll tell you what, I am definitely he and not they.
I'm gonna be quick because I'm touching a lot of bases here, but the main thing I'm looking at is faith without works. Got to be some works.
Right.
Now, works could be praying, works could be going to church, reading the Bible, worshiping, but there's got to be some other works. God is not going to do it all by himself, and we can't do it by ourselves.
Amen.
Now, the thing is, these guys have an agenda. It's the devil's agenda. Mystery Babylon is what the Bible calls it. They call it the New World Order. Okay? Now, to set up a new world order, they got to destroy this country. That means that things are falling into place. Okay? Christ is not coming back for Donald Trump's economy, Donald Trump's government. He's coming back for the new world order. He's coming back to destroy the devil's government, which they're trying to set up. Everything they're doing is contrary to the Bible.
Yep, it is.
Okay? And we're not under Roman rule. The question people would ask then, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just pray and wait on God? Are we supposed to just not do nothing, be no activity? Well, the thing is, under Roman rule, they couldn't do nothing. They had to listen to the government.
That's right.
Under Roman rule.
That's right.
Yeah, and we're supposed to abide by the government, according to the Bible, to authorities, except when they're contrary to the word of God.
There you go.
And everything they're doing is contrary to the word of God. We have a constitution that they're trying to sidestep and destroy that gives us the responsibility to stand up and do what's right, to stand up against them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, nobody wants war. But being ex-military, I know that war is inevitable when you got evil trying to take over good.
Yeah.
The oath that we took, and I know you know this oath, we took, enemies, foreign, and
domestic. Michael, I've got to go, but I see where you're headed. And look, you mentioned the Constitution. I would simply say this, and we have plenty of constitutional weaponry other than war, physical war, plenty of constitutional weaponry to use. And we got to get people registered. We got to get people voting. We got to get people active. We got to get them out there. There's too many Christians who are still sitting on the sidelines, too many people who are constitutional conservatives who, and when I say constitutional conservatives, I don't mean in any kind of sophisticated way, but they believe that they're in their constitutional rights, but still aren't active. I mean, hunters and Second Amendment advocates, but they won't get active. They won't get involved. They don't run for office. They don't support other candidates. They don't vote. If we get all the people in this country who believe in the fundamental values of this nation and our constitutional principles, we wouldn't lose a national election, and we'd lose probably very few state and local ones. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Miller in Louisiana. Miller, welcome.
Hey, I won't keep you for long. I know we don't have much time, but I just want to tell you that, like you, I got saved in 76. Oh. I made a profession in the third grade. I was raised Baptist and went to church all the time and all like that, but I didn't really understand true biblical belief. And most people don't, and that's what I've observed in these last 45 mm-hmm. years since I got saved. And I just wanted to share that because I think that's the issue. The only thing that matters in the history of the world and mankind is that somebody truly know Jesus. And that's what I see is there's so many people today that professing to be Christians that were before the Holy Wars. I was as lost as a goose in a snowstorm because I didn't understand biblical belief. I just understood mental, intellectual acknowledgement. Well, right. Satan believes like that if you read Matthew 4.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. The devil believes and also trembles. All right, Miller, appreciate it. Let's see if we can get Donovan in here real quick. Donovan, you got the last word. Donovan, welcome. Donovan, are you there?
Program.
Thank
yes,
you.
I'm here. Okay, you can hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, what I wanted to say, but just to narrow it down for time's sake, first off, in the Bible, Jesus said to Satan, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Well, I tell you what, when Kamala Harris becomes president, I have a feeling I'm going to be modifying that to Satan, get thee behind me. Hope you have a sense of humor. Anyways, when it comes to the climate change, that's not going to work. You know, they're talking about electric cars and all like that. How's that going to work if there's brownouts and stuff like that? You know, I live in the state of Florida, and you would think, okay, we've got all kinds of sunshine. Okay, well, we're also on the hurricane highway, and one good wipeout, and we're finished.
Mm.
Thank God.
Wow.
We have a great governor for now. So just for time's sake, I'll leave it at that. But another one last thing is thank God for all of the programs on AFR, because I don't know how to pray for our enemies, and they are not my friends. They're not any true Americans. They're our enemies.
Yeah, they're certainly, Donovan, thank you for the call. They're certainly enemies of the Constitution. They're enemies of freedom. I don't think of them as personal enemies because I do pray for them. I want to win them. Not destroy them, unlike the way they think about us. So, you know, we pray by faith. It's like we forgive by faith. I tell people all the time in my church, you don't forgive by feelings because your feelings will continue to rise up. You forgive by faith. You just say, Lord, you told me to forgive, and I'm going to forgive, and that's it. And then when your feelings rise up, say, feelings, just shut up because you don't control me. The Word of God controls me. God told me to forgive. I forgive. And eventually your feelings will follow suit. So the same thing is true in praying for our political adversaries. You know, it doesn't feel good, but the feelings don't matter. What matters is faith. Look, thank you all so much. As always, you contribute so much to the call. I really enjoy your comments and remarks. You stimulate me to be thinking about some things I hadn't even thought about. But God bless each and every one of you. And remember, folks, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.